This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Democrats in Washington have proposed a $3 trillion coronavirus relief package. The U.S. House is getting set to vote on it, and then it faces an uncertain future in the Senate. Throughout the pandemic, we've been checking in with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell for weekly updates on the COVID-19 response from a federal perspective and how it impacts us here in Michigan and Washtenaw County. And for the first time since we began these conversations, Representative Dingell, I don't believe you're at home.
That is correct. I'm in Washington, D.C., getting ready to vote on the HEROES package today.
So, if ultimately approved, this measure would stand as the largest emergency relief aid package in U.S. history. Give us a synopsis of how you and your colleagues put what is being billed as the HEROES Act together.
You know, we have to continue to make sure that people feel safe and their basic needs are being met. And we've got to keep them safe in two ways. Keep first and foremost is public health. We don't want people to get this. We want them not to get ill, and we don't want them to die. But we also want to keep their jobs safe. And we're trying to slowly reopen the economy, but there's a lot of need out there. And even the head of the Federal Reserve this week was very clear that we need to be investing in the economy now, spending to keep it strong for down the road. So in this bill, we dealt with many issues that matter to people that are scared about their jobs and are just scared as they're living through all of this. So probably the biggest thing in the bill is providing $1 trillion to state and local governments who need the funds to pay vital workers. They are it's the grassroots that's taking care of this all. So it would give money for first responders, health workers, and teachers who are both keeping us safe, and they've got the responsibility for our children. It establishes a HEROES Fund, David, that would pay our essential workers who've been out there putting their lives at risk hazard pay.
And that's $200 billion.
That is correct. And, you know, there are other people are worried about their rent and mortgages. It creates a fund that would help give them relief during that. It provides extends unemployment, gives an additional stimulus payment. It protects payrolls by enhancing the new employee retention tax credit. I have several provisions in here on OSHA, making stronger standards so that as people are going back to work, they know they're going to be safe. It tries to protect people who are on furlough, have lost their jobs, with COBRA subsidies so that they can maintain their coverage, and it also created a special enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act. There are a lot of other things that it takes care of. Strengthens food security. It has makes water a human right. It gives assistance on utilities. It takes care of violence issues. There are a lot of things that matter to people in our community that are critical, and they're things we need to be addressing right now. So people know that they are safe, they're able to go to the doctor. If they're sick, they can afford to feed their families, and that they're not worried about whether they're going to be evicted from their house for lack of a rent or a mortgage payment.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Republicans have said this is a measure that's dead upon arrival, that it has no chance of passing through the Senate. Were there efforts to work with the GOP in putting together the HEROES package that could ultimately pass?
There have been conversations. You'll remember that Mitch McConnell wrote the last bill, and then it was a Republican bill, but then he did work with the House. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House have every intention of working with the Senate. And in the end, there are things in here that I don't think most senators aren't going to have to deal with. If they're home and listening to their constituents, it's what they're hearing about. It's the things that people are afraid of. Our state and local governments are panicked at the loss of revenue and that they need to support the frontline workers. And the other issues in here, these senators, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, you know the coronavirus is a challenge, and you know that the people in your state and your district are hurting, And we've got to work together to bring them more relief to keep the economy strong and keep America strong.
Our conversation with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. One of the areas of deep concern throughout the country, regardless of party, is education, K through 12 and higher education. We're looking at spending cuts of between 10 and 30% in the upcoming fiscal year for K through 12 schools in Michigan. Colleges and universities have also been hit hard already by shutdowns, and state funding's going to be slashed there too. If the key to our future is an educated populace, and we can't educate all who need or want it, aren't we potentially setting back American progress for generations?
I'm very worried about that possibility, and I think that's one of our responsibilities in a very nonpartisan way to address. It's one of the reasons that funding for state and local communities is so critical. And not only are their budgets being cut, but they're going to have to change the way that they educate. Our classrooms are going to have to be reconfigured so that there is physical distancing. Are we going to need more teachers? How are we going to feed our children? You're not going to be able to gather in cafeterias. How are we going to transport? Are we going to have to add shifts to transportation in the morning and the afternoon because you're not going to be able to have as many children on buses? There are so many complicated questions, and that's K through 12. That's where we ensure that every child has equal opportunity. Doesn't happen now, but cut those budgets even more. Think about the devastation. Educating our children's got to remain one of our top priorities. And my biggest worry is those that are in impoverished communities are the ones that have lesser resources and are where our kids need to be taken care of, where they need to have access to broadband. We need to be giving them computers. This has to be a top priority for us, and it is for me. And that's not even beginning to talk about what's happening on the university campuses and college campuses.
So in the end, even if this $3 trillion package passes, in the end, more relief money is going to become necessary to ensure that opportunity, right?
I have bet some of this money in here will go to schools. That's part of the importance of the state.
But not nearly enough to cover the nation.
Probably not nearly enough. And Andy Levin is the Michigan member that sits on Ed and Labor. And I said, Andy, we got to pull us together. We've heard from the state superintendent. I've talked to school superintendents for Washtenaw, Wayne, Macomb, and Oakland counties. And there are a lot of issues. And we got to come together and figure out what we need to do and how we're going to do it.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and again, we're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Now, most agree these economic aid measures are needed, though some disagree as to how far we should go. We continue to print money, devalue the dollar, threaten our global economic standing, and we're saddling the next several generations with what feels like an insurmountable debt. So while we talk relief, however much needed, what conversations are also taking place in Congress about climbing out of the hole we're digging?
Well, I think that what's going to come after this, David, I think that climbing out of the hole is we're in a hole right now. We're trying to keep Americans from dying, and we're trying to keep our economy balanced. It's not okay right now, and we're trying to make sure that it doesn't get worse. That's where our initial discussions need to be. But the next bill after the bill that we're doing now is going to be an infrastructure bill. And just as we did after the Great Depression, President Roosevelt undertook a number of programs that did two things. It addressed many of the problems that we had in the country. And as we do, we need to fix our roads. We've got an aging infrastructure. We need broadband available for people across the country. We need to replace water pipes and infrastructure for plumbing and water as well. We will create jobs and be putting revenue back into the economy. So that's part of the discussions that are starting now. But right now, we need to, as the chair of the Federal Reserve said, we need to be investing in America, and that's the next step after that. But we need to make sure we have an America, David. We got to make sure people are healthy, and we got to keep them working.
You do hold regular online town hall meetings with your constituents. Are you hearing any of the concerns that I've just brought up for the debt load, or is the immediate need so great that people believe they can't concern themselves with that right now?
Now, listening to this radio, you may have people calling into my next one and raising it, but when I'm on my call, people are worried. They're scared. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about health care. They're worried about where they're going to get food. they have a lot of medical questions about how do they keep themselves safe? How do they not let it spread? Are they safe enough to go out and do certain things? The questions I get, and I try to make myself accessible, as you know, to many people. I do multiple events a week talking to people. They're worried about what we're going to do for right now, both from a health standpoint and the economy, their jobs, their rent, their mortgage, food, putting food on the table. If they get sick, who's going to pay the bill? If they get sick, can they stay home for 2 weeks? Those are the kinds of questions that I get.
What time is the vote scheduled for today?
Well, we're going to have a long day. We'll have our first set of votes, probably first vote between 9 and 10, which will be a procedural issue. But there'll be debate throughout the day, and votes will probably start around 5 o'clock tonight.
All right. We will look forward to seeing how that all turns out and then what happens when it moves over to the Senate. Thank you so much for the time today, and I'll look forward to our conversation next week.
David, thank you. Be safe, and I can't wait to get back home tomorrow.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. The Dearborn Democrat represents portions of Washtenaw County, and she checks in with us every Friday for updates on the federal response to the coronavirus pandemic. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.